Okay, we're holding here is him in Reish Chaf Vav. The Mechaber tells us, Yosef Yemei Nisan, Vera Ilanos, Shemotzin, Perach, Omer, Brachat Hashem, Elkeinu Melech Olam, Shalachisir, Olomo, Klum, Uvarabo, Brios, Tovos, Ilanos, Tovos, Hanus, Memeleon. Inum Varach Elefam Achas, Bechol Shana, Mishana, Echar, Levarech, Achar, Shagadlo, Peros, Levarechon. So here we have the din of Birchas Ilanos. Thank Kosh Baruch Hu for fruit trees. Fruits today aren't, I mean, it probably depends if you're health conscious, they're your desserts. But many people, when they have dessert, they eat candy, they eat cake, and the like. But the natural dessert that Kosh Baruch Hu made for us is fruits. So we thank Hashem for giving us not only the necessities, but also luxuries, also the fruits. The truth is that the Rishonim explained that Borei Nefashos is also Borei Nefashos Rabos v'Chesronam a Kol Mashabara, meaning we thank Hashem not only for the Chesronam, the things that we need, but a Kol Mashabara even for luxuries. But that's every time I say Borei Nefashos, it could be for that. But Bimei Nisan, once a year, you see a fruit tree that is has flowers, it's flowering, so you say this bracha. If you didn't say it initially, some Rishonim hold, some Farshim say you should say it right away the first time you see it. If you didn't say it, we hold you can say it again, you can say it the second time you see it, the third time you see it. And if you waited too long, it says Eichar Levarech Achar Shagadla Peros. If the fruits are already there, what does that mean, the fruits are already there? So certainly if the fruits are fully mevushal, they're ripe, then you certainly can't say the bracha. At that point you would say shachianu on a new fruit, on seeing a new fruit. Even though Arminah could say it by achila, but bigger than you can see it on the riyah. The question is, at what point, you know, at the beginning of the gadlu aperos, so some achronim want to say that if you didn't say it, even if the fruit started to grow, you could still say it at that point.
So like here by the grapevine, they're like,
really small, right? So if you didn't say it, so even though it's not Nisan, we say it during Nisan, but if you didn't, some places in Nisan there's snow outside. You could say, yeah. If you live in the other side of the world, so you say it in Tishrei.
Right.
Okay. In Ikra, then you could say it before Nisan. But the minhag is to say it in Nisan, like the Gemara says, you go outside in Nisan. Kabbalistically, you're not supposed to say it on Shabbos. By saying it, you're somehow borer the nitzotos of kedusha from the tree. So some, you know, if you kabbali, you don't say it. I think the minhag olam is not to be choshish for that. Al pi kabbali, you should have a minyan. Al pi kabbali, you should have at least two trees because it says the lashon of bracha is ilanos. So there's always a question, Lashon HaBracha has Rabim, is that Akiv? You say, Tfilas Kalim. So you can be told one Kli. You might still say Tfilas Kalim. It's not, you know, although some do change the Nizam. In any case, I think maker we hold one tree is enough. And you can say it a Bracha on Shabbos, you don't need a minion. But there is a people, it's once a year, so people try to do the mitzvah in the most mutter way. Seder. In the Mikra, as you mentioned, this is not something you have to do. It's something if you see it. But since it's once a year, it's an opportunity. People try to go and they look around. And they usually put people on a fruit tree, put up a sign, come into my chatzer, there's an opportunity to do this mitzvah. So just like you don't have a chiyuv to go see the sea, say, Osama Asabrashis, you don't have a chiyuv to go see the fruit trees, but it's something that's a nice thing to do. Women also do it. It's a nice opportunity. To 2 years ago when they had the lockdown in Pesach, so we weren't allowed to walk more than I think 200 meters from our house. So I found the fruit tree within 200 meters from our house. It wasn't the whole Nisan anyway, it was just at the beginning, like right before, because COVID broke like after Purim, and the time they realized what was going on, like began Rosh Chodesh, they put up like some type of blockade and they didn't let people into the country, and they didn't want people leaving their homes. It was a pretty crazy time. But Baruch Hashem, I was able to find within 200 meters of my house a tree, a fruit tree. Okay, it was actually two trees. The Seder. The Chavar continues the Siman Reish Chav Zayin al Hazikim who came in Kochav Yorek Echetz Orach Shemayim Imakom Lomakom Nimshach Orach Keshevet. There's a bracha that we say on natural phenomenon that are extraordinary. So this is some type of meteor, a falling star. So if you see that, you spoil from the close of order, you say Osa Masa Breshis. Ridas Adama, if there's an earthquake, Valabraki Valra Amim, if you see lightning, you hear thunder, Valrucha Shinashu Bazaf, some type of hurricane, very strong winds, Valkol Echan Me Elo Omar Brakal Shamal Kerim Akam, Osa Masa Breshis. You don't say both. You say one or the other. The minhag is that on thunder, which is frightening, certainly for little kids, even for adults, it'll be frightening. So you say the bracha of shekochu gvrasa mal ha'olam. And on lightning, you say osam masav reishis. But fundamentally, it seems like either one is legitimate. Like I say, you shouldn't say both on one phenomenon. Earthquake can be very frightening. It seems like an earthquake doesn't have to be like a very major earthquake, even a small earthquake, as long as you feel it. Usually, I read in the paper the next day there was an earthquake. I don't even know, you know, it's like 0.2 on the Richter scale, so you don't feel it. But so obviously, then you can't say a bracha. If you feel an earthquake, you can say a bracha. If there, sometimes when there's an earthquake, 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, there's another aftershock. Thank you. So I think the Poskim assume that it's part of the same experience. It's not. It's just like if there's a storm, you don't say every time there's lightning, every time you hear thunder. It's one experience. If the storm, the sky is cleared, and then there's a new storm, it's a different story. You say a different bracha. This is not like the brachas that you say once every 30 days. This is every time it happens. So if it's the sky is cleared. Or even if the sky isn't clear, if it's another day, if you wake up in the morning and the storm's continuing, you'd say the bracha again because going to sleep is like a hafsik of sorts. The halachic day here would be like waking up in the morning. It wouldn't be a question of, you know, shkia coming. They'd say it's like a chavim. It's more of an experience. It's a new day and there's still a storm. You'd say a new bracha on the lightning and thunder and the like. You have to say these brachas within toch kdei dibur. So if you see lightning, if you go, you don't remember the bracha, you look up in your siddur, it's too late. Has to be within toch kdei dibur, shalom alecha Rebbe, 2-3 seconds. That's the time you have to say the bracha, to begin reciting the bracha. When it comes to lightning, there's an interesting question. You have to actually see the bolt. Sometimes you're indoors, you don't see the bolt, you just see the light. So there's a discussion about that. Well, is that enough? And the Pashas is enough. That there's a debate about that issue. I think there's some machoshesh that you should see the bolt. It has to be real lightning. It can't be, sometimes in the summertime in the country, it's like the sky gets like, what is it called? Like heat lightning. So that apparently doesn't count. That's not lightning. But if it's real lightning, it's just you didn't see the bolt, that would be considered, according to any postgame, sufficient. Right. The shades are closed, and you just see the. So, if you know it's lightning, you can say the bracha, according to many. In terms of the winds, it's a little unclear how strong winds have to be. Do you say shekochok grasa? Do you say masabreshis? If it's really strong, maybe you should say. If it's like a hurricane, you should say. Shikokubaraso, if it's just a little bit strong, and then the question is how strong. This is a big question in general. How many spell do you have to be able to say these brachos? Sometimes the winds are, you know, the trees are flying, so then it's obvious. Sometimes it's not so clear. You have a snowstorm. So a snowstorm fundamentally is not bracha worthy, but often there's winds. You know, so once you have the winds, I remember once I walked back from yeshiva here. I'm Canadian. I was like, this is going to snow. I was like, it's going to snow. So they let the seder have to walk over early. And I was walking home. I had brought my, you know, Canadian boots. So the wind was so strong. The snow was coming down you know, horizontally. It's like, like I mean, it came down vertically, but then it, like, it was like coming into my face. It was really, I felt like I was in Montreal. It was really, so that the chara is bracha worthy. In terms of saying this bracha in the middle of learning, so Mekar Adin, it seems like you're not mechuyev to stop to say these brachas. I'm learning, and there's a star outside. I continue learning, but you're allowed to stop. It's not bechlal the Mishnah, you know, one who is learning and he stops to say ma noa ilanzu, schayv nafsha, because there you're just, I'm looking. Here I'm saying, I'm thanking Hashem. You know, the way Rav Kook apparently explained that Mishnah is that if you have to stop your learning to say how beautiful the world is, so it shows it's a chesaron in your learning. Looking at the world is not a stopping your learning; it's part of your learning. So, okay, if you accept that theory, you don't accept it. Either way, you're allowed to stop. Rav Kook, I think, said that. Yeah, it's a nice, it fits for Rav Kook, the style. In any case, Mekar Din is mutter to stop, but I don't think you're mechoyev to. I was once in shir with Rav Lichtenstein, and there was a storm outside, and he kept on giving shir. And then after shir, somebody had the, I don't know, chutzpah, it's not really chutzpah, but somebody had the courage, I guess, to ask him how come he didn't stop. So he said, I didn't notice there was a storm. And it was like a ma'amish, like you heard like lightning, a thunder. He said, I didn't notice there was a storm. So some people are, you know, arriving to the time of learning, so they didn't notice. He didn't say that he didn't think he'd be mechuyev to. He just said he didn't notice, if I remember correctly. Anyway, there's a big question, what about other natural phenomena? Yeah, you see a volcano. You see the Niagara Falls. Here near Beit Shemesh, you go. It's a very nice place where you see these stalagmites, is that what they call them? These, so it's really beautiful. Do you say a bracha on that? It says, Machlokes Achronim, Chaim Kanevsky holds not. It's only what it's mentioned. And others, or Vosner, says, no, of course, what's the difference? You know, waterfall is a beautiful thing. You know, the waterfall is probably more meaningful, more amazing than hearing lightning or thunder for most people. Especially because lightning and thunder, every time there's a storm in the winter, you hear it, not every time, but often. See Niagara Falls, it's like, wow. So, I said, Rav Lavin, he's machriya, that you should say, if you feel excited, you should say. Seems like these other things, you would say, even if you don't feel excited. Meaning, it's part of the question is like, is this like a takanas chazal period? Or is it a question of excitement? Let's say a person really isn't mispoil at all. He doesn't think that, okay, it's lightning, shine. It doesn't faze him. So l'chora is a takanas chazal. So l'chora, you should be faced by lightning. And even if you're not faced, you still say the bracha. Rav Lavin wants to make a pshar. He says if things aren't mentioned in the Mishnah, so the Niagara Falls, it's not mentioned. So then if you're mispoil, you can say a bracha. Which is interesting. Shara, in terms of the stalagmites, so part of the question is, do you say Maisa Bracious? Maybe it was made after Maisa Bracious. I mean, again, there are different understandings how old the universe is. V'chule, but Lishitasam, this is post Maisa Bracious. This is, so it's definitely 5,000 years ago, or, you know, 6,000 years ago, they were there. So is that considered Maisa Bracious? Interesting question. But say it. Continue in the Sif Beis calls man shalot nispasra avim nifna bracha achas. As I mentioned, if it's one storm, the bracha continues, even though you heard lightning and thunder numerous times. You saw the thunder, you heard the lightning. Nispasru vein barak lebarak vein ram ram. So if it's nispasru, if the skies are clear, then it's a new storm. See a new bracha. Yosher v'sakise v'shamak kol ram or ra barak im yochol latzis v'larech tachtei dibur yotza v'imav yotza. A person is in the bathroom, so if you can leave, like I said before, talk to you, but it's very, very, you don't have too much time. If you are able to get out, say the bracha, you can. It's interesting that it seems like even though you have to use the bathroom, you didn't start, you're about to go to the bathroom, so that's not about the shaksu. To be able to say a bracha, apparently you haven't reached that threshold. Not every time you go to the bathroom would it be about the shaksu to wait another 10 minutes or wait another 2 minutes. It's only if you really, really have to go. So we tell a person if they don't have to go so badly, so if they see the lightning, they should say the bracha before, you know, etc. Beseder. Moving on to Simon Reish Chav Ches, Reish Yami Unaharos, Harim V'Gvos. Al Yami Unaharos, Harim V'Gvos Mitbaros. A person says a bracha of Osa Masav Reishis on seeing sea, or rivers, or mountains, or deserts. Valiyama Godal, who Yam Shaobin Bo Erti Sro, Mitzrayim Omer Baruch Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam Ose Hayam Hagadol. So on the Mediterranean, the Mechaber Paskins, you say a special bracha of Ose, or some say Shaosa Hayam Hagadol. Now, there is a question, the halacha, if the Mediterranean is the Yam Hagadol, because if you look at a map of the world, the Mediterranean is big, but it's not that big. The Atlantic, Pacific, those are really big. So some hold the halacha, we assume that when you see the Mediterranean, you should just say she osa masav reishis. Osa masav reishis against the Mechaber. We pass against the Mechaber. You say osa masav reishis out of concern that maybe that's not the Yom HaGadol. Although the truth is, I don't know, I'm not a historian, but is it shayach that they were referring to Chazal, who lives in Israel, Ms. Toma thought the Mediterranean is the Yom HaGadol. So, that's the Chronim assume that you shouldn't say Osa Yom HaGadol on the Mediterranean. Say the bracha of Osa Ma'aseh Bereishis to cover yourself. Now here, the halacha is that every 30 days you could say this bracha. But if you saw it last week, so you see it again, you're not inspired so much, and therefore you don't say a bracha again. If you see something else, you saw the sea, and now you see the mountain, then you could say it, because it's a different thing. Meaning, even if you see one sea, you see a different sea, then you could say it, because a different sea is a different ria, a different mountain. But if you see the same sea, a different vantage point. You were in Haifa, and then you were in Ashdod. So it's the same sea, it's not so different. You'd be able to say a bracha, the one bracha would cover both. If you go up to, let's say, Rosh HaNikra, so on the way up, you see the sea, and then you see the mountains. So it's very impressive. Here's also a question, how impressive does it have to be? You know, people from Chutz La'aretz, they're used to the Grand Canyon. So that's impressive. But you see, out of the Carmel, it's not so impressive. So some people say you shouldn't say a bracha. I think it's all a question of what you're used to. If people are willing to go on a tour to go see the Carmel, that means, l'chora, that it's impressive. And it's hard to say these are bracha levatalas because you're taken by it. Asar Malamed has an interesting point. He makes another point. He says that it depends how you're going. If you're traveling somewhere, so I'm traveling and I see the sea on the side of the road. I have to go to Haifa for a meeting, for an appointment. So I'm not going to the sea. I'm going on the road. The Kfish HaChof, you see the sea. It's part of the scenery. So you wouldn't say a bracha. But if you're going to the sea, so then you would say a bracha. I think it makes a lot of sense, that chiluk. And also he made the point I just mentioned.
Every time you go there?
Every 30 days.
Perfect.
Every 30 days. But the caveat is that if you see different things, you could say a bracha again and again, because you'll see the sea, and then you'll see the mountains, and then you'll see a different mountain. So every mountain would be generate a different bracha. It's just the same mountain wouldn't generate a bracha unless it was after 30 days. If you saw it at night, you have to be able to see it. If you see it from an airplane, is that enough? Are you going to spoil from it? You have to be spoiled from it. I would assume even from the airplane, you don't appreciate the greatness of how big it is from the airplane. But sometimes you get a bird's eye view. It's a different type of experience. So if you're despoiled from it, you can say a bracha. So a person is traveling by plane from Israel to New York. So you get on the plane, you see the Mediterranean. So you say Osa Ma'aseh Bereishis. Now, Misvara, when you get to the Atlantic, you should say Osa Hayam HaGadol. I saw the Piskei Teshuva, he wants to say that once you said Osa Ma'aseh Bereishis on the Mediterranean, so it's not considered like seeing a new thing, because it's like you're continuously seeing water. Although I don't think that's usually to fly over Europe. No, it's not like you're flying through the Mediterranean. And yeah. So if you're flying over Europe, I don't know why it's like seeing two different mountains. And I would think you'd say a second bracha, but he says not. I'm not 100% sure. I wonder also, in terms of experiencing the spilus from it, when you're like coming, if you're above the water and all you see is water, I don't know, it's like maybe it's more impressive when you're like at the shoreline, you see the you can experience the water in a more full way, because you see the land, you see the water. If you're just in the clouds, what are you seeing? You shouldn't have to see anything in the clouds. But even if you're, they probably don't even fly that low over the Atlantic. Do you see the water when you're
already over the clouds?
You're over the clouds, right? So I don't think you see anything. This whole thing is a theoretical. I mean, it could be a small airplane might be flying lower. I don't know. It's a theoretical question. I'm not really sure. But fundamentally, the question is, like, is the Mediterranean different? And if you, should we kosher the Mediterranean is the Yamagadol? So you already said Asamah Sabratius on the Yamagadol, so maybe you shouldn't say it again. I don't know, it's a separate sea. So I thought Misfara that you should say a separate brother. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm not sure how the Mice it is, as you're pointing out, because you're talking so high up. I guess the opposite, if you're leaving New York, you say Asamah Yamagadol, and then you coming into to landing in Eretz Yisrael, so then on you can say Osam Asav Reish, that would be more practical. So I would think that you should say that in that case, but Pesach Tshuva seems to say it's indicate not. I'm not 100% sure. In terms of deserts, so the Pesach Tshuva says it has to be like a great desert that you're like afraid to go into as a sakana. But Rav Lamed assumes that even on Midbar Yehuda, again, if you're just traveling on a highway and you happen to see a desert on your right or your left, you don't say bracha. But if you go into the desert, you go into Machdesh Ramon, you go down to Nirei Lat and these tours, they're taking you places to see the desert. So once you see the desert, you say, Osama Sevracious, it's hard to say that it's Safik Bracha, Slahakel. If you feel these pilots, you see something, it looks amazing, so then you can say a bracha. Like I mentioned before, what looks amazing might be a function of where you grew up and what you're used to. So if you grew up in the Grand Canyon, you see this, you're not totally spoiled. There's a person who is spoiled from seeing. Let's continue with the page. Lo al kol neharos mevarach. Ela al arba neharos tichsiv v'kray kidekel pras v'usharos sam makom shalon nishtane amahalcham l'gevayada. So it has to be a river that's as big as kidekel or pras. It has to be natural. So we don't always know what's natural. Sometimes things have changed. You see the Yarden is not very impressive. It's hard to even understand. Psukim Yeshua, they cross the Yarden. Big wow. It could be the Yarden at one point was wider. It seems like it was wider. Now the Yarden is much more narrow. But if you see an impressive river and it's natural, it hasn't been changed, so then you could say the Vracha also, Sh'asanisim, on that as well. Now, see, what do you mean it wasn't changed? What about Yam HaMelech? Do you say on Yam HaMelech? So I think the scientists think Yam HaMelech was created because of some type of earthquake or something. That's why the mountain range on our side or in Jordan sort of kind of fit together. So that's post-creation. So it's post-creation. I don't know, it's hard to know. I thought of Lama says you can say it on Yam HaMelech. On the Kinneret also, it's very big, it's very impressive. A person grew up, I don't know, near the Great Five Lakes in North America, so he sees the Kinneret, he's not so impressed. But most of us, even if I grew up in Canada, but I've been living here for many years, so it's impressive to see the Kinneret. You go on a vacation, you see the Kinneret, wow, it's beautiful. So the Pasha says you should say bracha. It seems like being machmir, not to say brachos, is really taking Kach Bracha out of our lives. It's hard to say it's a bracha levatala, on the Kinneret. Person wants to say without Shem Malchus, you can certainly do that. It's certainly playing it safe, but you also lose something. Okay. Gimel, Hayoshev, excuse me. The law called Haharim Gvoz Mavarech, Aladak Haharim Gvoz Shemeshunim in Keres Kvura Sabore Behem. So, as mentioned, it can't be any mountain range. It has to be a mountain range that is extraordinary, which is Nikeres Kvuras Habore for him. So it has to be something that is worthy of tourism, let's say. People are going to go see this mountain range. Is the Hermon worthy of a bracha? So I think yes. A person who is not very impressed with it probably shouldn't say a bracha. You have to actually be there. You can't just watch it on the internet. The fact that people travel and they pay money to go on vacation shows that seeing it with your own eyes is more impressive than seeing it on. But when I was in, when I had COVID, I was stuck at home, and I watched a series Our Planet, I think it's called. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube, yeah, Netflix. Our Planet. Yeah. Netflix made it, and it's available for free on YouTube.
Yeah,
so, beautiful, beautiful feature. It has a certain agenda, trying to help people to take care of the planet in terms of pollution and environmentalism. But it's fascinating and beautiful. And as I was watching it, I was like, wow, I want to say a bracha. I didn't, because I think sometimes, you know, this great photography, you could be very impressed. I think the assumption is that Chazal were Masakin Ariya. This is not called Ariya. It's not called Ariya. So you can say without Shema Malchus. But it certainly is impressive. Sometimes the photography is even more impressive on the video when they have a way of editing it and getting good shots than just seeing it live. But l'halacha, you don't say bracha in that case. V'seder. Let's move on to Simon Reish Chaf Tes. Birkas HaKeshes V'acham V'tukufasa HaRoa HaKeshes Omer, you see a rainbow, you say Baruch HaShem HaKeinu Malach Olam Zohar HaBris Neman V'Vriso V'Kayam V'Ma'amara V'Osu V'Sakal V'O Yoser. So it's not recommended to look at the Keshes. The Keshes, of course, the Torah describes after the flood in Parshas Noach, is a sign that Kashbarcha won't destroy the world. We deserve to be destroyed, and we're not getting destroyed. So it's not such a nice simon. So we don't tell people, oh, look outside, there's a Keshes. If you see it, you say a bracha. So Kashbarcha essentially is Kayim Vamamaro, that he won't destroy the world because he promised not to. You don't have to stand when you say this bracha, but the minhag is to stand. I think for the other brachas as well, I mentioned before, people often try to stand. Here you just don't talk to the Iber issue, so here you have more luxury to stand. If you hear the lightning, hear the thunder, and you stand, you might lose talk to the Iber. But here, I think the minhag is to stand. If you didn't say the bracha immediately, you can keep on saying the bracha as long as you're still seeing it, as long as you misspoil from it. The Ver Halacha speaks about how much you have to see. Sometimes you don't see a whole rainbow, you see only a fraction of a rainbow. So he brings down a suffix, maybe it has to be Kechati Goren, it has to be a complete rainbow. Now my kids told me that the half rainbow isn't the whole rainbow. If you're in outer space, the whole rainbow is actually a full circle. So obviously you don't have to see a full circle, you don't have to be in outer space to say the bracha. Chazal and Masakin to say a rainbow. So a normal way of seeing a rainbow is a complete rainbow, what we would call a half a circle. It's not actually a complete rainbow. But if you just see a sliver of a rainbow, sometimes that's how it comes out, so then it's a suffix bracha, so you shouldn't say the bracha with Shema Malchus, say it without Shema Malchus. The Mishmura says that you could say a second time the same day, meaning if it's a second rainbow, it's a new rainbow. It's a different experience. So if it's a different rainbow, you could say a second bracha. I'm not sure if it's exactly the same as by Ra'amim and Barak. They have that like Nispazra. Like here, you had a storm. Usually it's after a storm, so then 10 minutes later, it's another rainbow. Is that enough? Or does it have to be like a mamish, a different experience? I'm not 100% sure. And it is, it has to be a mamish, a different, but I'm not 100% sure. Okay, Beis. Haroa cham v'tukufasa. V'hu v'chafchas l'chafchas k'ad. Every 28 years, I remember last time, it was only, yes, I think, maybe 10 years ago or so?
Yeah,
10 years ago. V'tukuf v'tchil l'el dalid, shiroa sav v'yom dalid v'voker. It's always Wednesday morning. That's when Hashem created the sun. So the Machzor ends Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Omer Baruch Hashem, Masa Bereishis. Excuse me. V'chein v'varach gal king shiro levana v'tarasa v'chacham yishmor seim. V'zolos v'itam da'ayinu shetakso levana v'tchilas mazal tala. V'tchilas ha'chodesh v'latiyah notugol tzofen l'doram. I don't think we say this bracha on the moon. I'm not sure why. But the Birkas Chama we do say. V'chein k'shiyaksu kol chok v'chamisha Hanisharim l'tchilas mazal tala lo yenote lo tzofen l'darem v'chein v'chol eis sheyire mazal tala olam mitzos ha-mizrach. So the Birchas HaChama, the minhag is to say, people write books about this. It's like if you write a book about Birchas HaChama, you know everybody's going to use it. that one time, and then people are probably not going to never use it again, because in 28 years somebody else is going to write a book. So it's like you have to wonder if it's worth your time. But there are excellent works like from the Yeshiva wrote, and then R. Scroll wrote, different people wrote books, Birkas Nechama. There's a fascinating Torah Ma'ada discussion about whether or not, you know, I think it's Copernicus, I guess, proved, was it him, that the world doesn't go around, the sun doesn't revolve around the world, but the world revolves around the sun. And that kind of throws a monkey wrench into this whole cheshbon. So there are people who don't believe in Chazal, so it's not an issue, they're not going to say the Rachel. There are people who don't believe in science. Here in our yeshiva, we believe in Chazal, the belief of a nefesh. We also try to work with science, so the question becomes, what happens scientifically? So, in Levisa, I think if Chazal instituted a bracha based on their understanding of science, so then we say the bracha. We don't have to be frumer than Chazal. If Chazal say you can kill lice on Shabbos, so maybe we'll say, well, we mach, we're not to kill lice on Shabbos. That, I think, is a little different than saying, I'm going to mvatal a bracha. They were talking a bracha, so you have to be pretty... somebody asked Rav Lichtenstein about this last time, and he said you have to be very, very convinced to give up the opportunity to say a bracha, you know, that comes every 28 years. You know, so I think he said the bracha, and I think that you should say the bracha. But there is an issue here. It's a question of how this all fits with modern science, or if it seems like it doesn't fit. So the question is what to do about that. Lamaisa said the minhag, a lot of minhagim surrounding this. Again, it's hard to know what really are minhagim, because it happens every 28 years. But it seems like people try to have a nasikin and try to do a pekal gadol. And you know, the rabbi gets up, he says it, people say amen. There's a medical issue in terms of looking at the sun. It's not safe to look at the sun. So it seems like you don't have to like look straight at the sun. You can look towards the sun like for 1 second and say that's enough, that's sufficient to say that bracha. Women also say this bracha, although I saw some discussion on Pesukei Teshuva, women don't say it. They do say different opinions about that. Can a blind person say this bracha? You can't see. Maybe you should go see somebody else. An onein shouldn't say this bracha. Aval yes, and then around the bracha they say keladon. They say certain mizmorim and tilim. They make the experience more rich and more full. And they say aleinu at the end. And aleinu is actually interesting. Halacha say aleinu after Kiddush Levana also, because it seems like aleinu is said at times when you might misunderstand an act for avodah zarah. People are going outside, are they praying to the moon? Are they praying to the sun? Aleinu, you know. Even after a bris milah, we say aleinu, maybe for the same reason, because it doesn't look necessarily like a classic, you know, Jewish maisa mitzvah. Right, the Mishnah Berurah says about the Levana that our minhag is not to say this bracha. Not exactly sure. Why we do say Birkas Halavana, meaning every month we say Birkas Halavana. We don't say this bracha of when the Levana comes back to where it was when it was created, etc. I'm not sure exactly why. Excuse me. Okay. Let's move on to Siman Reish Lamed. I'm inspired by Masha Ovar. Kigosh Nichlas Le'ir V'Shama Kol Tzivacha V'Ir. You hear people crying. You shouldn't daven what already happened. It already happened. What do you mean? It shouldn't be in your house. It already happened. We don't, it's a bracha levatala. It's a tefillah shav. Your person's wife is already expecting, and she's expecting after 4 days. The min is nikba, and now you say, oh, you want a son? You want a daughter? It's a tefillah shav. It's probably the hagdara of tefillah shav is not entirely clear. The Lachazin once mentioned that when his father was elderly, he lost his sight. And he davened that his father should regain his sight. Rav Lichtenstein, his father, Dr. Yechiel Lichtenstein was his father, and he lost his eyesight. And Rav Aaron davened for him. He said, if you ask a doctor, just like you can't daven that your person lost a limb, they were in a car accident, they lost their leg, Rachman the son. You can't daven that they should grow a new leg. You know, maybe lizards can grow new tails, but people don't grow. So how would you feel a shav? He said he felt it wasn't feel a shav. He's not sure. He said it's scientifically, maybe it's the same thing. The nerves are dead. The nerves are dead. Fine. But he felt that was with more with this. This is a big question. A person has Alzheimer's. So do you what do you daven? They don't recognize anybody. You daven, they should get better. So it seems like there is room to daven if it's something that you feel. The way he presented it, it's almost like your own sense of feeling. People don't feel their leg is going to grow out back. But maybe that they have Alzheimer's. Maybe like you can daven, there'll be medicines. If you daven, they'll get better. You can daven, the eyesight. Science can often, I mean, I reckon you daven that science is going to find a way to have your leg grow back. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's even within the... There's probably no limits in science anymore. You have to be careful with this. You don't want to daven for something that's meaningless. At the same time, we do want to daven for and it gives hope, and it gives and it works. We believe it's because it works. Anyway, Yisrael Adam ala Asir lava vitein hodah al aver. Says the Mechaber, on the aver you only give hodah. You don't daven. Daven is only on the future. Ki gan a niklas lekrak omer yirzal lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu sheitach niyseini lekrak sel l'shalom. You daven that you should. A crack was often a dangerous place, big city. Not there were policemen, so you daven that you should have a safe journey. When you finally reach your destination, you thank Hashem. Leaving town is also a problem. It's also dangerous. So here's interesting. It seems like he's saying the Tfilas HaDerech in the beginning of the journey. I mean, usually we always say Tfilas HaDerech after you leave. Mikra Din, it seems like you could say it even where you are. In fact, some people who travel daily, and there's a shayla about whether or not the shear of Tfilas HaDerech, but they want to see Tfilas HaDerech, let's say it's dangerous, there are people throwing rocks, etc. So they'll include in their brach of Shomei Tfilah and Shemana Asrei, Tfilas HaDerech, because the chasim of Shomei HaTfilah is the chasim of Shemana Asrei. It's the same chasim for Tfilas HaDerech. So you can add in Shomei HaTfilah any personal bakasha. So even though you haven't started your journey, you're just in shul, but in half an hour you're going to go to work and you're going to travel through some barren village, so you can say, you can yotze Shomei HaTfilah, you can say the bracha of Tfilas HaDerech rather through Shomei HaTfilah. So that seems to be what's going on here. V'zohi Tfilas HaDerech shenichtavu hi v'chol dineh v'simin kuf yud. Okay, so either way, we have a principle here that we don't daven on things that happened already. That would be a tefillah shav. We daven on things that could happen, that will happen. We give hodah on past things. V'seder. Chaber keteirus haniklas lamod es grono. Oh, you hear it someone v'necha Hashem elokai shetishlach bracha v'kri zeh. When you're counting your wheat, you can say this bracha. You can say this tefillah. Hiski lamod omer bracha. Sholech bracha b'krizeh. Seems like they would say b'shem malchus. We wouldn't do that today. So you can't say this bracha after you know how much it is. After you know how much it is, you can't say, oh, you should have bracha. Shein bracha b'tzuyeh el davar asamim min ha'ayin. This is a concept that bracha ayin hara, that even seems like you can even get yourself an ayin hara. So bracha is on things that you don't see, and you say the bracha before you count. Some people are very concerned about this ayin hara. It's brought down here in in Shulchan Aruch, other people assume that if you're not copied, they're not copied with us. That I think is the more rational approach to Ayin Hara. But the concept of tznius is obviously an important concept. You've got to flop, you know, to act in a way that you're showing off, etc. Gimel anikas l'merchas omer yirtzom l'fanecha Hashem elokai shetachniseinu l'shalom tassiinu l'shalom. You daven that you should have a uneventful bath. You should be saved from the fire. It seems like the bathhouses were kind of dangerous. There was like a fire at the bottom, and like you never know if you're going to end up in the fire. You know, today I think things are a little more safe. I know they're more safe. Although you hear stories of people going into like jacuzzis and get electrocuted. So I think it's like an uncommon occurrence. So don't use a jacuzzi if it's not safe. But if it was installed professionally, you can use it. You don't need to say the bracha or the tefillah. Yatzav shalom omer modeh lefanecha Hashem Elokai shehit zaltani me'ur hazeh. Okay. Dalet hanichnas lekizdom omer yirzom lefanecha Hashem Elokai shehit zaltani me'ur hazeh. They believed until very recent times, that bloodletting was a way of curing illness. So when they bloodlet, they would say tefillah. The esek zeh should be the refuah. So this is something that people still do today, even though they don't bloodlet. But when you pardon?
When I take medicine.
When you take medicine, so many people have this minhag, or they follow this sivan shacharach. I'm not sure if it's actually a chiyuv. It's brought down here by Kazakhstan, but it seems like it's taken to enjoy, take medicine. You should say this should be the refuah. We believe that the kashmak is ultimately the rofe chol basar, and they're shlichim that he sent. So the medicine, we believe in Western medicine, and we should follow Western medicine. It's unfortunately, there are some people in the Haredi world, not just the Haredi world, and you know, against Western medicine, this whole issue with anti-vax, it's a little bit scary, because a lot of it is really narishkeit. I mean, again, not every Western medicine is necessarily, but like Bigadol, they're trying to help. It's not like, you know, really the Chinese, they know what they're doing, and and the Western medicine, they're... Okay, so there are different approaches. It's hard to argue with people. I feel very strongly about these things. But it's not pashut.
What's going on? Something like 5 minutes to say this song. It's like, you're not like sick, but you might have like a vitamin D deficiency if you don't think you're right.
I don't think it's the same. Vitamins are, people eat vitamins. It is a question in Shabbos. Can you take vitamins on Shabbos?
Right.
So if it's a machal bari, if every day you take vitamins, so then it's a machal bari. If you, I don't know, vitamin D supplements, I'm not sure people take as every day. It's only when they're deficient they take it, right?
No,
it's not,
the doctors,
doctors say,
if
people take
deficient, yeah.
Right, but it's only people who are deficient, so then I don't know if you should take it on Shabbos. Meaning, there are vitamins people take, you know, the free to vitamins, the multivitamins, they take it because they just want it to be healthy, so they don't think they have eaten enough iron and enough this and enough that, so they take vitamins. So those are, you can argue, the Michael Barry. Things you only take when you're deficient. So then I would think it probably is medicine, and maybe then you shouldn't do it on Shabbos, and maybe then you should say, but even here, I'm not sure if it's really a refuah. I'm not really sure. It's a good question. It can't hurt to say it, but I don't think the minhag, I really don't know. I'm not sure. Mishmura points out over here that, firstly, it sounds like the Baruch Rofe Cholim was said by the person taking the medicine. Today the minhag is that other people say Baruch Rofe Cholim. When you see somebody who was ill, he had the flu, and now he goes back to yeshiva, you say Baruch Rofe Cholim. So that's our minhag. And likewise, when a person sneezes,
say themselves.
That's what it sounds like, but I don't know if they actually do. The Mishnah brings down this issue of when you sneeze, people say Asusa, they say L'Refuah. That's accepted a practice. It seems like it's connected to the fact that once upon a time, when a person would sneeze, they would die. So people still say labriut. People sneeze. They say labriut usually in Hebrew, in Israel. Okay. Chaver continues. Only other Ragi Lomar Komat the Avid Rachman al Tav Avid. Fascinating, the Chaver brings this down. It's a famous Gemara. You should always say Komai the Avid Rachman al Tav Avid. So it's Rabbi Kiva, and everything was going wrong, and in the end his life was saved because the fire went out and the crow died, or the chicken died, and etc. So everything that happens is a Tav. Person who lives with that type of feeling obviously feels more connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's something that's very, very special and very, very meaningful. Okay. Let's see if we finish the next simen. Reish Lamed Aleph Shekol Kavanos of Yil L'Shem Shemayim In E.F. Shel Alamod V'lo Shnas Tzaraim Yisha. So a person sometimes needs to take a siesta, take a snooze. Here in the Middle East, people, it's very common. Rav Lichtenstein, when he made Aliyah, he didn't understand. Like in America, nobody takes a siesta. Here, like, stores are closed, like from, you know, 2 to 4. It's like there's a sign in the park, don't make noise, people are sleeping. It's a different world. So he was very frustrated. The yeshiva guys would take naps. He's like, what do you mean? It's the middle of the day. His daughter once said that her husband was lying down, sleeping on the couch once, and he came into her apartment. He said, what's wrong? What's wrong with him? Is he sick? Like, he didn't understand why a person would be asleep in the middle of the day if he wasn't sick. So the Mechaber says, if you can't, if you can't. It's obviously totally in the person. Some people, it's very good. They take a half an hour nap, it's a power nap, and they can learn until 1 in the morning. So if you're like that, that's great. But all things being equal, a person is supposed to, you don't sleep because you want to enjoy sleep. You sleep because sleep helps you be over to Hashem, right? That's the mechaber. Shekol kamanos of Yilshay Shemaim. Everything I do, I sleep so I can learn. I eat so I can learn. I exercise so I can learn. Everything is there, and not just to learn, to do chesed, to do mitzvahs, to do avodas Hashem. Says the Ramah, Shnei Mishnaso Ein Tzarech Tovarech Chai Neshama V'Yishom Shdikra Kodem Shishan V'Hino. So L'Chai Neshama you say only in the morning. You don't say it in the middle of the day. In terms of washing your hands, the minhag is to wash your hands in the middle of the day if you slept a half an hour without a bracha, and you don't need to make sure it's by your bed, even for those who are careful at night, that the water is by their bed in the morning, so they're not careful about that during the day. There's no Ruach Ra, apparently. You can't sleep too much during the day. You shouldn't sleep more than half an hour. Most people take Shabbos naps, sleep more than half an hour. But again, it's all a question of what's good for you. It's not like a halacha. It seems like it's a recommendation. So here you have a question in general, the relationship to Hana of this world. There seems to be different days in Chazal. Is a Nazir a Chote or is a Nazir Kadosh? How do you look at Tashvish Hamita? How do you look at Achila? There are different approaches in Chazal. Some people have a more ascetic approach, and others have a more, appreciate what Hashem gave us in this world, and what Hashem gave us is good, and we should, get close to Hashem through appreciating good food, or whatever the case may be. So the Mechaber here says, you shouldn't have Hana has Gufa, it shouldn't be for Hana, it should be Haksi Gufa. I don't know if that's necessarily a contradiction. You could say that I want to enjoy my food in order to also serve Hashem, but the Chaver has a more hardline approach. So everything you do is channeled to avodas Hashem, or something that enables avodas Hashem. So if you're hungry and you eat because you're hungry, that's not good. You should eat. So again, the question is, like I just mentioned, is whether or not this is necessarily a contradiction. Obviously, you shouldn't be hedonistic. But if you appreciate fine cuisine and you thank Hashem by saying a bracha, and you feel close to Hashem through that, is that bad? For the Mechaber, it seems like it's not recommended. It should be all avodas Hashem. I think that in our day and age, the philosophy of most, across the spectrum of, Haredi, Dati, is that the physical world is something that Hashem created and that we should appreciate, and that by appreciating it, you get close to Hashem. So that's a little bit different take. There are certainly sources in Chazal for this as well, although Mechaber is not bringing that here. Person wants to become a rabbi because he wants to be famous. So I would say rich, but then he's just deluding himself. Maybe he'll be famous. So then it's not ideal. You should be a rabbi because you want to teach people Torah. You shouldn't just sleep because you enjoy sleeping. Even when you're tired, when you have to sleep, so it's not ideal to sleep to enjoy the sleep. You should do it only for your health. Because if you don't sleep, you can't learn. So again, like I said, this is a more ambitious, extreme approach. It's not so accepted. It's not appropriate for a person to engage in sexual activity for their enjoyment. Even if it's to have children, the purpose of this activity is to have children to serve Hashem, or just to do the mitzvah because you have to, and not because you want to. Again, I don't know how healthy a person's relationship with their spouse is going to be if they're doing this because they have to. So I don't think it's usually the way we look at things, although it's the way the Mechaber says it. So I'm not saying it's not it's certainly a legitimate approach, but it's not the accepted approach today. V'chein v'sicha, philosophically, divi chochma tzarech shidiyah kavanas l'avodas aboreh l'davar ha-mevi avodas, you shouldn't just shmooze randomly. If you need to have a shmooze, so you have a shmooze because it's going to help you after you learn. Chalash l'davar chayv adam l'asum eina v'libo al-jarachav v'lishkol kol ma'isav v'oznes. You have to always be constantly thinking about what you're doing and why you're doing it. If you're not okay, open Sparo Tommy. You want to constantly serve Hashem. I think everybody can agree on that. You want to serve Hashem. The question, how to define serving Hashem? Like I said, there are different approaches in Chazal in terms of how you look at the physical world and to what extent do you try to mekadesh that world or to what extent you try to free yourself from it and really ignore it to the best of your ability. Okay, so we'll stop here.